USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I'd imagine the president and the White House in the days to come will outline further what was behind that accusation. I've never heard that before.
That's Senate Republican Marco Rubio after President Trump comes under fire during his stay in Florida over the weekend, tweeting on Saturday that former President Obama wiretapped Trump Tower ahead of inauguration. Even most GOP lawmakers are suggesting they don't think the president's right about this one. Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton saying on Fox News Sunday,
I've seen no evidence of the allegations we've seen in the media.
And the FBI director, James Comey, reportedly wants the Justice Department to come out publicly and deny that the Obama administration ever spied on Trump. The U.S. again condemning North Korea after another round of missile launches over the weekend, the North launching four missiles that flew over 600 miles, landing in the sea. This is USA Radio News.
High blood pressure is affecting Americans in epidemic proportions. If you're one of the millions trying to reduce your blood pressure to improve your health, there is a great new way to help you do it without drugs. It is the Zona, Z-O-N-A Plus. Air Force researchers discovered this effective and non-invasive treatment that works with isometric therapy. Check it out now at OrderZona.com or call 800-936-9080. Clinical studies have shown more than a 10% drop in blood pressure for regular users of Zona Plus. Get yours today by calling 800-936-9080 or going online to OrderZona.com. Listeners of this station will save $50 by using promo code USA2017. Reduce your blood pressure now the safe and drug-free way. 800-936-9080 or OrderZona.com and use promo code USA2017. That's 800-936-9080.
New York City police now say this one was a false alarm at a Jewish cemetery in Brooklyn. As James Flippin reports, police say it was Mother Nature, not vandals, that knocked over some headstones.
Police came out to Washington Cemetery after State Assemblyman Dove Hykind posted photos of damaged headstones online. But they soon determined that the markers weren't toppled by vandals, but rather a combination of poor maintenance and high winds. The cemetery's director agreed that there was no foul play and said some of the headstones had been toppled over years before. The scare comes after a Jewish cemetery in Rochester was vandalized, and a wave of bomb threats were phoned into Jewish community centers across the country.
Back from a weekend in Florida, President Trump is in Washington, where reports are he may sign the new executive order at the Department of Homeland Security today concerning travel to the U.S. from several Middle Eastern nations. There is speculation green card holders and citizens of Iraq will be exempt from this version. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then U.S. Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
New York's Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo back in the Empire State after a whirlwind trip to Israel. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler.
Cuomo spent less than 24 hours there over the weekend, but managed to squeeze in meetings with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Reuven Rivlin, plus a visit to Yad Vashem, Israel's Holocaust memorial.
My sadness is that now another generation of young people has had to experience this pain. A pain that for many young people was only in the history books.
Cuomo said he felt he needed to do more than simply visit local synagogues to counter recent waves of anti-Semitism.
Another restaurant chain that's based in Colorado is making a push to serve only antibiotic-free chicken. Here's Taylor Summers with more.
Golden Bay's Boston Market says all of its chicken will be antibiotic-free early next year.
No added hormones and steroids, fresh, never frozen, no MSG, etc., are things we've been doing for years.
Tim Hartman is with the chain. He says the company decided to make the move after getting feedback from customers.
We continually hear back, we want more and more of our products to be all natural. You know, we really want things that we feel good about.
Boston Market is now the third Colorado chain to make the only antibiotic-free chicken move. Chipotle and Noodles & Company made similar announcements earlier this year.
Top earner at this weekend's box office, Hugh Jackman's Logan. Number two was Get Out. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. It's nice outside, sunny. High will be in the mid-40s today. Slight chance of showers tonight after 11 o'clock. Lows into the 30s. Showers likely on Tuesday in the afternoon. Otherwise cloudy, high approaching 60 maybe. And then Tuesday night showers, low in the 40s. Chance of sprinkles on Wednesday and Wednesday night. High'll be in the 60s, low in the 30s at night. Thursday sunny, high near 50. Thursday night maybe another little chance of rain again. And Friday, again, looks like a little bit of rain in the area all week, unless something changes. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Morning, welcome to the table. Chef Bill here at the Chef Bill's Table at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Coming to you every Monday around this time, 11 o'clock. Or you catch us on Rewind anytime at the archives at our website. So what's on the horizon here? Let's see. Food celebrations. Lent for Catholics, Christians kicked off. The pre-Easter season last Wednesday, we had our first Friday night fish fry at Jake's. We bring back old school. We use a nice New England style coating and get a combination or some nice cod or haddock, even lobster tail fried with scallops, clam strips. Kind of order things separately or make a combination, and very popular. And even if you're not abstaining from meat during Lent, it almost seems, I know with the price of fish and seafood, it almost seems like a luxury to be asked to eat fish. So for me, it's a treat. I mean, I can't have a hamburger, but I can have a lobster. It's a tough decision to make. And apparently some of these rules were put into effect to actually centuries ago to protect or help the fish industry. I think at one time, I believe it was probably 100 some days during the year where people were asked to consume fish. And it usually isn't an issue, as they say, with if you live near where fish are harvested or grown or live naturally, it's not a problem. And with shipping nowadays, of course, we can get fresh product even overnight all over the place. But still, traditionally, I know when years ago when I was working more inland, you were kind of limited. You could get fresh fish shipped in. It used to come in big barrels with ice. Used to get it from Foley's up in Boston there. You had to order a couple days before, so they went and just picked it up fresh at the docks. And then it got shipped, as they say, packed in these big barrels with shaved ice. So it was in impeccable condition when we got it. And other choices many times are frozen. Today happens to be Frozen Food Day, if you're watching any food celebrations. And also this week we have a crab meat day and a scallops day. I think today we'll just go more into fish. Seafood is a whole other category. When you think of the marine creatures that we enjoy, I always draw the distinction between fish and seafood, even though many of the fish grow in the ocean or the sea, saltwater fish, kind of make that distinction between the two. And the fish that we're looking for now, at least today, would be either whole fish or fillets or steaks. And depending on the sizes of the fish and how they swim, fish will cut out different ways. I like to think they either swim upright or they swim flat. Flat fish are like your halibut and flounder and soles, skates, those kind of things. And then your round fish would be, salmon, tuna, sword, bass, groupers, snappers, all those fish that swim upright. So, interesting, last week in the Times magazine, Gabrielle Hamilton wrote about a favorite dish that she cooks with the swordfish and a caper sauce. And it's one of our favorites at the restaurant also. She really kind of hits home with some of the foods that she writes about, near and dear to my heart. Things like family meal, chicken and rice, things that we as chefs and, as home cooks also kind of have some go-to dishes. Capers, everybody, what are capers? What are capers? These little tiny, they look like little tiny peas, right? And they're kind of nice, sharp, briny flavor. We end up using them quite a bit in our kitchen. Not only is in a fish sauce, but in a tartar or remoulade sauce, pasta sauces can get the capers. Think of a puttanesca with the anchovy capers and olives. Steak tartare, traditional garnish would be capers, and we use with smoked salmon. They're pickled flower buds from a brush, so they're unopened buds are hand-picked. And they're dried and then usually brined or salt packed. And brining would have a little salt and vinegar in it. You always see the capers in little jars. We always recommend rinsing them off first. Very sharp flavor in the brine. They do hold up well. Another good pantry staple, even once they're open, as long as they're covered with the brine, they'll last a long time. And if this bud opens up and flowers, it becomes a berry, looks like a green olive, and they're packed the same way. So capers or caper berries, either one would give you that nice same flavor, although the caper berries might be more in a mixed olive or appetizer plate. Look for nonpareil, are the smallest ones, easiest ones to use. Go up in size from there. Some are larger. We like the small ones. If you get the larger ones, you can always chop them up if you're putting them into a sauce. We've got the quarter hour here. I'd like to go through is the celebration of Frozen Food Month and some fish and explore possibilities for fish, adding fish to your diet. Most people have maybe a little bit intimidated by cooking it at home. Oh, it's always overcooks and this and that, and what do I buy? So we'll clear up some of those issues for you. A couple of go-to techniques, very simple. I happen to like the taste of fish. It seems odd that we'll take a nice lean protein like that and then smother it with butter or some kind of rich sauce. Goes nicely with it, but there are other options. When we come back at the table, we'll look at that. Chef Bill's Table.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Welcome back. Back to the table here. Chef Bill's Table and Monday mornings talking about fish. So what do we look for? Choices like most of our markets. If you're fortunate enough to live or patronize a good fish market, then your selection will be easier. And also the proprietor could probably steer you into the best thing for what you want to do. It's kind of difficult to follow specific recipes that call for a specific fish. Most good seafood cookbooks will give you some substitutions. Mark Bittman is very good with that, with each recipe. He'll give you things that substitute. And if you understand where fish are from and the structure of them, it kind of makes it easier. So popular fish, of course, it seems the selection with the amount of fish that's in the sea that we are kind of limited to just a few types, and kind of makes sense. Fish are easier to harvest if they're in schools, large bunch of them together. And some fish that comes in what we call the bycatch, and sometimes it doesn't look that good as far as not the quality of the fish, but they just don't look like... Why would somebody eat that? Monkfish is a prime example. Years ago, it was, they called it poor man's lobster for some reason. I guess because use the tails and maybe the white meat of the tail look like a lobster tail. I don't know. But to me, they're, I mean, the texture might be similar, but monkfish actually is very good. And that's gotten a little bit expensive, just, of course, like lobsters were once poor man's food, but now it's expensive. But you're looking for fresh fish, and they say, you know, days, it could be fresh delivered that day. Doesn't mean it was caught that day. Fish are always out. Day boat is a term we look for. You've probably seen that a lot with scallops. That means the boat has only gone out overnight and not out at sea for until the hold is full, and then they come back in. And fish are stored, of course, in an ice and saltwater slurry. Keeps them not frozen, but a little bit, you know, below that, call it hard chill, I guess. Frozen fish, on the other hand, frozen at sea, very safe if you're buying it frozen. Of course, you can look at the packaging and make sure that it hasn't suffered anything, you know, a temperature spike along the way. You look, you know, you don't want ice crystals in there. Everything should be intact. You don't want any freezer burn. Individually frozen fish, handy for taking out just what you need, but they are glazed to protect them. And sometimes that glaze contains a substance called sodium tripolyphosphate, which helps the fish retain the moisture, but, you know, it also adds to the salt content. And there are some techniques out there we call refresh, whereas we're whole fish are frozen at sea and then brought back and thawed out, and those are treated also with the sodium tripoly. It whitens them up, helps them retain moisture, but that moisture leaches out after you start cooking them. We don't like it. It kind of has a, we call it slippery fish. It's kind of got a shiny appearance to it. Usually cheaper, less money, but it's because there's water added to it. So you really want something. I remember my uncle was head of fisheries in Canada, up in Ottawa, and he always had a decent supply of frozen fish. He was a firm believer in the Canadian fish market, of course, and a lot of frozen product does come from Canada. Got great natural resources up there. And a good frozen fish that's been frozen properly and maintained properly is very good for you. And the techniques now for freezing quickly, there's less cell damage. You don't have too much of the water leaking out. If you try to freeze fish at home slowly, worst thing you can do. Slow freezing is not good. So it's best to, if you're buying frozen fish, get something, keep it frozen, and then thaw it slowly in the refrigerator. And it could take a couple of days. It's not one of these things. You can run it under cool running water, but make sure that it's completely sealed up. You don't want water to dilute the flavor. This is what happens with the with seafood, well, even with meat. If you have a roast and you're defrosting it, you want it to be cryovac or sealed up so it doesn't dilute the flavor. Now, the species, the varieties we have, again, in the market, you know, the people, the fishmongers are going to bring in what sells. And people see me, even in restaurants, introducing unique varieties out there. Sometimes people, oh, I don't know what that is. And our rule is, of course, if you have an unfamiliar product, you use a familiar preparation. Whereas if you have a familiar product, you can kind of dance around a little bit with the preparation. You already know what the basic product's going to taste like, and now you can start playing with different flavors. And that's kind of what we do. If I've brought in a variety that doesn't seem that people know what it is, most fish, except for your larger, long swimming fish like swordfish, tuna, mahi, have some dark meat to them. Most fish is nice and white, or a little bit off-white. I always thought with flounders or soles, it's a flat fish, so the top is light and the bottom is dark. And maybe a little grayish looking, and that was always the better tasting half. You look for that. But you've got fatty or lean, and then wild or farm raised. And that's another thing, you know, good frozen fish, but also farm raised fish now. I mean, there's still some issues out there, but pretty much the industry has turned around, realizing that you can't be as wasteful with the water. You want it sustainable. You don't want to modify the fish too much. You know, it's what you're doing with, if you call it genetic engineering or modification, which we've done for centuries. Think about it. We started with plants, domesticated plants, so we didn't have to move around and forage. And then we domesticated animals, so we didn't have to go hunt. And the last thing on the list now, we're domesticating seafood, so we don't have to go out way out in the ocean. And if you ever watch those shows, it's still a brutal lifestyle, very difficult. So farm-raised varieties, turns out, if their company is doing it the proper way, where there's, you know, again, there's regulations, people hate rules, but really it protects us from people that are not doing the right thing. So you decide, wild or farm-raised. Farm-raised fish, there's some very good ones out there. One of the early ones, of course, trout. And I always said, if you don't like fish, you'll love trout. It does not have a fishy taste. Very, very lean fish. Easy to buy. You can get it with bones in, bones out. Fillets, there's always some skin on there. Even you can get smoked trout, but that's a good fish to start with. Very thin fillets, easy to cook. Catfish enjoy to run for a while. If you like the texture, it's think about the catfish. It's almost impossible to overcook it. It's very forgiving, but it does have a unique texture and flavor that not everybody likes. Unfortunately, a lot of the ground fish not really able to farm raise yet, and these are the popular ones: your cod, haddock. But in that same family are fish like pollock and hake that aren't as expensive, and they're all kind of the same diet, same family. Pollock sometimes is a little bit more gray colored, but the fish, you know. The cod, of course, is the supreme one. That's the best, the nice big flake. I really prefer haddock to cod. But any of the fish in that family are good and could be used in similar recipes. The other ground fish, of course, the big popular ones, flounders, soles, halibut. Halibut, of course, being the best, but also the most expensive. Flounder, fluke. Of course, off the Jersey Shore, we try to keep some at the restaurant. Most it's gotten difficult over the last few years. The supply is shifting, the demand is still high, and we can't always. I mean, sometimes we can get it, but so expensive that I don't think people see the value in it. But any of those, and you have to watch. There's many of them out there in that family that are called sole. Dover sole to me is the true sole, and there's a. One from the Pacific, but the most of the lemon sole and gray sole, all those, they're all members of that flounder family. Nice lean fillets, and a lot of those are available frozen. Cod, Alaskan cod, usually comes in frozen. If you see it slacked out, it'll have to say previously frozen. That's nice, again, with the labeling regulations. You have to be told if the fish was frozen at one time. So you're aware of the, that's what you're getting, you know. But generally speaking, the frozen fish is more economical. Obviously, the product's been controlled from the time it was caught. You don't have to worry about spoilage. Things, you know, it's already filleted. The shipping is less costly than shipping whole fish. But it really takes that... time element out of it. You're kind of frozen in time, right? That's where that saying came from. So good frozen fish to look for, as I say, if the packaging is good, thawed properly, you'll get good results. Again, there's nothing, I'm not saying it compares to something you're getting right off the docks or something you catch yourself, but at least you know from certified waters, there are some regulations on it. with processed fish. With harvested fish, not so much. It comes into the docks, or it's flown in. There's not a lot of information on it that you get with your normal meats and canned and other frozen food. But frozen fish, packaged fish like that, there's some rules to follow. You can make sure that it's from certified waters, sure what it is. Is there salt or sodium tripoly added to it? All those things they will tell you, any kind of processed fish. And by the way, the further processed ones that already have breading and coating on them, I know it's convenient, but really you're paying a lot of money for somebody to add inexpensive ingredients. I'd rather control that myself as far as the salt, fat content, and everything else. We've got a break for a couple of minutes here for news in the half hour, and we'll be back to the table talking about fish.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
This is a very real potential.
President Trump still defending his claim that the Obama administration wiretapped phones at Trump Tower prior to the election. Deputy White House Press Chief Sarah Huckabee Sanders telling NBC's Today Show it should be thoroughly investigated.
This would be the greatest overreach and the greatest abuse of power that we've ever seen.
And Huckabee Sanders claims that there's a double standard when the media reports on President Trump.
If the president walked across the Potomac, the media would report that he couldn't swim.
She speaks after FBI Director James Comey and former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper both shot down Trump's claims about being wiretapped in weekend talk show appearances. Reports are President Trump could be signing a revised executive order today concerning travel to the U.S. from several Middle Eastern nations. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Angie with Daybreak. You hear a lot about heart disease. Well, the VA does a lot of research that helps people who aren't veterans as well. So how Veterans Affairs researchers are working to fight cardiovascular disease is our topic. And our expert, Dr. Terry Gleason, acting director of the Clinical Science Research and Development Department of the VA. Thank you so much for joining us, Terry.
Good morning, Angie.
Let's start with this. What is cardiovascular disease, its risk factors, and how it affects people, including veterans?
Heart disease is a bunch of conditions that could affect the heart or blood vessels. It could include high blood pressure, heart attacks, even strokes. We seek to provide care for all healthcare issues our veterans face, and our research program is really set up to improve their healthcare and advance treatments for veterans.
Now, where can we or veterans in general find more info?
So that would be www.research.va.gov.
Thank you, Dr. Gleason.
Thank you so much, Angie.
Back at the table here, Chef Bill's table. So what are we going to do about fish, about saucing it, about cooking it, selecting it? As they say, cooking fish is pretty quick. It's just, what are you going to buy? Whole fish, obviously you can judge the freshness better. Problem is, of course, especially if you have kids, the bones. People don't like the bones and picking through them. But there is definitely so much more flavor. You can get bronzinos now, and actually those are farm-raised, coming out of the Mediterranean, the Greek fishing industry. Salmon, of course, unless you see seasonally some wild-caught, which would have to say, or Arctic char, one of those types of red meat fish. It's pretty much farm-raised. And again, we look for the European... Norway was probably the first to do it successfully. You'll see Faroe Island you know, anything off the British Isles or Ireland there. Canadian, we like all those farm-raised salmon are good. Salmon, of course, is different than these other white meat fish that we're talking about. Salmon is very popular, not only in restaurants but at home. It's you can undercook it, still good. You know, a little medium rare or medium done. It doesn't have to be fully cooked. Or you can poach it fully and flake it into a salad. So our white fish, as far as fresh, at least around here, monkfish I find to be very good. You have to trim it a little bit, but the monkfish tails cook up very nicely in a little medallions. I've roasted the tails whole, but the medallions seem to be the way you can saute or braise them in a liquid. Very good. They're firm enough that you will use them in a cioppino or a fish soup. Good way to handle that fish. Frozen, again, cod, flounder, sole, any of those fish like that. Cod, of course, being thicker. If you're going to bake the fish, you probably want a temperature about, you know, 450 degrees, almost boiling temperature. We really want to cook fish rapidly. We don't want to take too long. We don't want to let it dry out. And I think this is where sometimes people worry about it. You really, my favorite way with fillets, of course, Miller style with a little bit of flour. We always use Wonder flour, the pre-gelatinized flour. Very easy to coat. It's a lighter coating on the fish. You don't get lumps. It's puts a little Christmas to it. We season that flour with at least salt and pepper. We'll use some paprika and onion and garlic powder in there. Puts in, again, very, very light coating. People like to see, of course, browning. Never mind just for the flavor, but it's an appealing color. Sometimes a white fish on a white plate, you know, looks a little too bland. That's why we put some kind of sauce on it. But sauteed, a simple saute for fillets or pan roast if it's thicker. Again, dust it with a little bit of that flour. When I pan roast a thicker fillet, start it in nonstick pan, of course, is easiest. But if you have a good steel or good steel pan, you want to get the pan fairly hot. You don't want the oil smoking too much, but you want it almost to that smoke point. And with the floured side down, start cooking the fish in that pan. It should stay loosened up. Control the heat. You don't want to burn the flour too much. And we'll do is, after it's browned on the one side, we flip it over, and that 450, 475 degree oven is where it's going to finish. Now, if you're using a pan like that, make sure it doesn't have a plastic handle. Make sure it's an oven-proof handle. But that's, you know, pan roasting. You could do a couple of good chunks in a pan at a time. And that's another thing. You know, cooking fish in quantity when you're sauteing, oftentimes it's best just to do a couple of portions at a time and set the fish aside, keep it warm, and start again the second two portions. You don't want to crowd the pan. Sauteing is a very quick method of cooking. And pan roasting is kind of a what you do with the thicker pieces. Now, if you happen to like fried fish, oven frying is another technique that we use. It was developed, I believe, by a home economist back in probably the 50s. And you need a very hot oven for this. Crank your oven to 500 degrees, and we'll coat the fish. You could do a standard breading procedure, your flour and your egg wash, and if you like panko or fine breadcrumbs, whatever you like. But you just you could use vegetable spray or a little neutral oil or clarified butter if you like. We always, when you're ever using high heat, you want clarified butter so it doesn't burn. The milk solids should not be in there. So a little coating of oil in the pan, and then spray it or brush it with oil. So you're still getting some fat in there, but you can control what fat it is. And into the 500-degree oven, and you need that so that recovery time is quick. It's going to crisp them, brown them nicely, toast the crumbs. If they're thicker fillets, you may have to turn them. But as a rule, we don't like turning baked fish too often because it can flake and fall apart. It's really going to cook through just fine. Usually 10 minutes per inch of thickness is the rule of thumb. I like a little bit less than that. I know they say when fish is done, it flakes, it's opaque. To me, if it's a little bit before that. You will have a little bit of carryover cooking that you get with meats. So it's better to pull the fish a little bit early. What I look for, if the fillets are not coated, you'll see a little bit of clear liquid start to form there. And that, to me, tells me that there's still moisture in the fish and it's fully cooked. The proteins really don't take a lot to set. As a matter of fact, the ceviches, lean seafood, thin slices of scallop or flounder, right into lime juice. It's going to alter that. It's going to denature the protein, alter it so it looks like it's cooked, totally safe, and you can enjoy it. But oven frying, sautéing, baking, what we like to do is you put a little topping on the fish. And if you like crunch, I mean, it doesn't have to be breadcrumbs. It could be nuts. We'll do sometimes, a go-to used to be macadamia nuts. We would pulse them in the food processor and mix a little bit of panko with those. Or you can just, if you don't want the breadcrumbs in there, just use the macadamias. But those will cost you more than the fish probably, but very good flavor. Or almonds, other nut toppings. What we do then is we'll just brush the fish with some melted butter oil and dip the top side, the presentation side we call it, into the nut mixture and simply bake it with that. It just protects the fish. Again, a little flavor, a little crunch if you like. Very easy to do. The other topping that we like to do is the old New England buttery cracker topping. I love that one with the Ritz or some similar butter cracker like that. Crush them up, and of course we'll add some melted butter, but season them up, you know, a little cayenne, a little onion and garlic if you like, a couple of herbs. And if you want to treat with your crumbs or cracker crumbs, you could flake a little crab meat in there. We've done what we call a crab casino topping. Yeah, and you have your bacon and peppers, a little garlic and some butter. You're just going to saute that. Your bacon should be crispy. And fold a little crab meat in there, and you could have that with or without the breadcrumbs, depending on your preferences. And again, for a lean, mild-flavored fish, it puts a real good flavor punch in there. A little more expensive treatment of it, but it doesn't take much crab meat to flavor it. So really, crab meat casino, very good topping for baked fish. The other one we like, of course, is with the breadcrumbs, and make them maybe an oreganato style, or you moisten them with some olive oil. Oreganato, I would have garlic and oregano, obviously. And I like to put a little tomato product in mine, a tomato sauce, just to tinge the color a little bit, give a little bit more flavor. But any of these toppings on the fish, again, protects the fish. They're going to make sure it take a few minutes longer to cook, obviously, for the heat to penetrate. But it actually gives the heat, the bottom heat, time to get through there from the pan also. Another way to even go further, almost like a nice one-dish meal, I know my owner likes to do this, is take some cooked vegetables, spinach or greens, anything like that. You'll have those blanched and sautéed, seasoned, and line the baking dish with the spinach and place the fish on top of that, and then some nice crumb topping on top of the fish. Bake the whole thing. Now that you could cover with foil if you want, kind of steam it for a little bit and then take the foil off to brown it, or just bake it as it is. There's enough moisture from the greens to keep the fish nice and moist. You'll capture all the fish juices. You could sprinkle a little white wine on that if you like. You've got your whole dish right there in one pan. We've got a break for a couple of messages here. It's a quarter hour. And we'll look at a couple other with some braising and, oh, our customer's favorite, Francais. You see it in restaurant menus all over. And sounds simple, but like any simple technique, good ingredients and good flame control, you'll turn out a nice dish when we come back to the table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Table here, Chef Bill's table. A couple of ways to cook fish. So another, say you get thin fillets, maybe a sole or flounder. Sometimes you like to simmer them in a sauce, and it could be as simple as a tomato sauce or a spicy tomato sauce. It could be fresh tomatoes and olives and capers, like I say, similar to a puttanesca. You could poach the fish. Poaching is nice, but usually when you poach fish, you're going to have to make another sauce to go on top. And usually, you know, they're pretty much a nice cream sauce or a hollandaise. Again, you need, you know, you're cooking lean, but we've got to add some little fat for the flavor, right? Or your lemon butter caper. Capers, for some reason, seem to go well with any kind of fish, that little sharpness that it gives the mild flavor of the fish. But simmering, you could do we'll do with the fillets. Instead of laying them out flat, of course, then you need a big pan. You could do it in the oven. We make what we call turbans. you roll them up. We've done the roll-ups with a little bit of a fine, I guess, a stuffing could go to kind of hold them together, or just make them like they look like pinwheels. This way you can stand them up on their end, and you can fit many fillets into a saucepan or a baking pan. So you make your sauce first and then put the turbines or the pinwheels in there. And it's easy to serve. Pick them up with a spoon. You can, they don't overcook, you know, it's just because being rolled up there, it takes a little time for that sauce to simmer through. But find out that if you have thin fillets, that's one way to do it without, again, we spread them out on baking pans, and, you know, some cook more than others around the edges, and you're trying to lift it out of the pan with a spatula, the pinwheels make a lot more sense. Now, besides our thin fillets, of course, other fish that freeze well, swordfish freezes well, mahi freezes well. I don't know if you'll see frozen halibut too much. People sometimes like Chilean sea bass. I guess the overfishing problem is solved with that. But that's, if you're buying that, you might as well buy fresh halibut. It's very expensive. The restaurants and steakhouses like it. It's big, buttery, fatty, difficult to overcook, but a lot of money. Monkfish, if you find it fresh, especially where we are around here, it's off the Jersey Shore, it's in the East Coast here, always landed. It's one that we're starting to use more and more. It's more readily available than the flukes of the flounders, and you could do many similar things with it. It's just getting people to realize, hey, this is a nice, mild fish. Because after all, what determines the flavor of the fish is the cold water. Colder the water, the better. You'll find that your northern fish probably have a little more flavor than tropical fish. Your ground fish, the ones we've been talking about, your cods and haddocks, flounders, that you know, hate to use the term bottom feeders, but that's where they are. They're usually leaner, less fat. Makes sense. Fattier fish going to be a little more. Fish are, it's good protein and not tough because you think about it, they don't have to fight gravity. They're floating in water, so they don't need that same muscle structure that land animals need and poultry. So it's going to be mostly your lighter meat and very little connective tissues. That's why it's so tender. Bones in the fish, your freshwater fish like your trout, salmon, of course, are both fresh and salt water. They'll have maybe the finer bones than your saltwater fish. Farmed fish, generally a little bit less flavor, but they are getting better. Again, from a reputable producer, sustainable, the flavor, and truthfully, for a readily available supply and consistency, the farm-raised do very well. As I say, they're getting much better at it. I have to overcome some of the questionable practices that some of the early operators used. Watch out for treated fish, especially with that sodium tripolyphosphate. It does help. Frozen fish puts the glaze on it, but with your refresh fish, you know, it's extra salt and moisture that you really don't need, and you don't need to, even if it's a little bit cheaper fish, you're paying for water, just like scallops that are wet-packed versus dry-packed. It adds about 10% to the weight, and, you know, think about it, that's a lot of money. Remember poaching temperatures? About 180 or so, you don't want water boiling if you're doing poached fish. One of our favorites used to be the trout blue. Of course, when you're inland, you have a trout pond up in the Adirondacks there, the one restaurant. You'd actually, somebody from the kitchen, you could go out and net your own trout. And then you bonk it on the head and clean it up. And the natural protection that's on the fish would turn blue in the poaching liquid. The poaching liquid had some wine, some lemon, a little bit acidic environment. That's what you want with poaching liquid. You call it court bouillon, besides your seasonings in there. And the trout would turn a very, very pale blue. That's how you knew it was fresh. And then I used to, actually in one restaurant, I was able to use them. Frozen trout that are whole with the bone on have not been processed that much. And those would turn not as much as a fresh caught one, but they would have that little hint of blue, like a nice pale blue on the outside. And of course, that we just did a simple browned almond butter for the sauce, but that was a dish that kind of grew from being inland. I know from being in central New York, I mean, bullhead were always big at the restaurants near the lakes. We used to get pike. Pike, if you can find it now, if you're up, near the Great Lakes, it would be the local fish to use. And that's what you do. If you're near water or near where there's a source, use the stuff that comes from nearby. If it has to be trucked in from a market, you make sure that, it's the history of it. And if all else fails, good farm-raised, which is probably able to be maintained easier, and then good frozen fish, not a bad way to go. Again, not going to be the same texture as freshly caught, but if you're not sure, you don't have, it's hard to plan the meals, better to keep some good product in the freezer and slack it out as you need it than to go settle for something second best. I'm going to wrap up another hour here. I hope we've helped you take some of the scariness out of cooking fish and some of the questions you might have. They say it's good protein, it's safe, and we should have a little bit more lean fish in our diet. Sauces, again, that nice lemon and caper sauce, the Francais that I mentioned. I know I said about sautéing with the flour. A little beaten egg after you've dipped it in flour. You'll need a fairly hot pan with neutral oil or clarified butter, but it puts that nice brown egg coating on it. And do a few fillets at a time. You could set them on a sheet pan to keep warm. And then simply white wine and lemon butter. White wine, lemon, and some whole butter. And what happens with the whole butter, there's a little bit of that milk solid. You get that temporary emulsion between the acid and the wine and the lemon. The liquid cooks away. You've got the fat from the butter. You swirl the pan a little bit, shake it back and forth, and you get a nice creamy sauce. Add some capers to that, and it's simplicity, but really allows you to taste the fish without too much getting in the way. Signing off now. Till next week, Chef Bill. Chef Bill's Table.